Drage poslušalke, pozdravljene v 13. epizodi in drugi sezoni Povratnih zank, mesečni oddaji o internetni kulturi, teoriji in literaturi. Z vami sem Lea. Današnji input se spušča v različne vloge, ki jih lahko posameznica zavzame na medmrežju. Naj bo to nekritična opazovalka ali pozorna raziskovalka spletne krajine. Začele bomo z obravnavo neigralskih likov oziroma NPCO s prebiranjem zbornika naslovljenega Non-Playable Characters, izdanega strani kolektiva LAN Party. V nadaljevanju pa bomo skozi intervju z Morgan Bilois o njenem delu Becoming the Product, the Critical Internet Researcher as a Virtual Intellectual razpravljale o spletnem raziskovanju, virtualnih intelektualkah in internetnih institucijah. V koncu lanskega leta je kuratorski dvojec Vien Kim in Benoit Palopa, ki deluje pod imenom LAN Party, zbral piske, da bi proučevala figuro neigralskih likov. Delo Non-Playable Characters poskuša kritično analizirati vlogo neigralskih likov, raziskati uporabe tega izraza ter razložiti, kako se upenja v širše spletno-diskurzivne strukture. Ko toriše zgodovino izraza NPC Angela Vaško v svojem prispevku Romancing the NPC, Two TTRPG Players Fighting for the Affection of an Evil Empire Played by Their Friend, so se neigralski liki prvič pojavili v namizni igri vlog Dungeons & Dragons, v kateri so ključni za posredovanje, usmerjanje in napredovanje pripovedi. Neigralski liki, kot nam poveže ime, delujejo kot liki, ki so upleteni v zgodbo, vendar se vanje ne uživi igralka, temveč služijo kot njeni sopotniki, ki s pogovori in dejanji poglabljajo fikcijo. Vsaj v namiznih igrah so ti liki v resnici vseeno igrani, njihovo vlogo prevzame vodja igre. S preskokom od namiznih k videoigram pa so te like začeli upravljati bolj ali manj spretni algoritmi. NPC znotraj igralkine fikcine deluje kot resnična in večdimenzionalna oseba, je potrebno, da se razumno odziva na igralkina dejanja. Naj bodo to neposredne interakcije, denimo izročitev predmeta ali pogovor skozi razraščena dialoška drevesa. Prav zaradi teh pomankljivosti nekaterih neigralskih likov, ki so delovali ponavljajoče, predvidljivo in jasno umetno, je izraz NPC pridobil negativno konotacijo. Kot zapiše Günseli Jalcinkovaja v prispevku The ABCs of NPCs, je kot večino spletnih šal, izrazov in šaljivk temu mogoče slediti nazaj do spletnega foruma 4chan. Tam so uporabnice začele besedo NPC usmerjati proti osebam, ki so jih želele opisati kot nerazmišljajoče, programirane, konformistične, nezanimive in običajne. Avtorica to prvotno žaljivo oznako bere kot trenutno spletno realnost. Sedanji izraz spleta ni namenjen glavnemu liku, temveč medsebojni izmenjavi strojno proizvedenih vsebin med različnimi stranskimi procesi. V poplavi besedil, podob in oseb, za katerimi stoji umetna inteligenca, je vse težje z gostovostjo razločiti med neigralskimi in igralskimi liki, saj se meja iz dneva v dan tanjša. Obenem avtorica v neigralskem liku vidi tudi nekakšno moč. Če je oseba tako nebistvena, da se lahko izogne nadzoru in modeliranju, je morda lahko produktiven subjekt za vzpostavljanje nekonvencionalnih platformskih pravil. Podobno kot Deleuze in Guattari vzpostavita figuro psihotika, ki deluje onkraj klasičnih psihičnih in družbenih struktur, bi se v vlogi NPC-ja morda lahko izognile kuraciji totalnosti. Podobno razmišlja tudi umetniški kolektiv Two Girls, One Comp, aka Marko Demutis in Aleksandra Pfamater v članku Choose Your Own Character, ki v NPC-jih vidi potrditev tako teorije mrtvega spleta kot teorije temnega gozda. Obe pravita, da je splet naseljen z nečloveškimi agentkami, kot so boti, umetne inteligence. Prave uporabnice pa so se umaknile v zasebne in zaprte prostore. Sorodno kot Jalcinkaja vidita prav središče in modifikacijo subjektivitete neigralskega lika kot logičen naslednji korak. Zavedati se moramo, da je tako igre kot spletne virtualne prostore mogoče spremeniti z uporabo modov kot družbenih praks. V svojem prispevku Life with Assets, NPCs as Infrastructure poudarja pomembnost nevidnega in samoumevnega. Morda svoj pogled večinoma uperjamo v glavne junakinje, vendar je pomembno preučiti tudi subtilne načine, na katere neigralski liki usmerjajo naše interakcije ter strukturirajo naš vsakdan. Prav zaradi njihovega izvirnega položaja, saj poosebljajo neke vrste lik, so NPC odličen uvid v samodelovanje sistema. Glede na to, na kaj se odzivajo, na podlagi česa se odločajo za določeno delovanje in kako se vzpostavljajo v odnosu do igralke, nam lahko dopustijo pogled v prepletene povezave, ki gradijo virtualne svetove. Če je denimo v igri mogoče z neigralskimi liki vstopiti le v heteroseksualen romantičen odnos, nam to posredno razkrije dinamike virtualnega sveta in pogosto razvijalkino slepoto za razmerja moči. Če je v igri mogoče neigralski lik pregovoriti v nenasilno interakcijo, namesto da z njo obračunamo, nas ta možnost povratno oblikuje kot pacifistko ali nasilnico. Na enak način lahko razmišljamo tudi o manj igrificiranih okoljih, kot so denimo družbena omrežja ali javne tehnološke infrastrukture. Analiza neigralskih likov tako odpira mnoga vprašanja dostopa, zmožnosti delovanja ter načinov vpetosti v digitalne strukture. Vredno je proučiti tako tisto, kar se nam zdi nepomembno in nezanimivo, kot tisto, kar nosi nevidno moč strukturiranja medijskih praks in identitete. Videoigre kot bolj ali manj abstrahirane simulacije v svojem srcu venomer nosijo ukodirane predstave o relacijah moči. Saj nam lahko zgolj tisto, kar ni prisotno, pove nekaj o tem, kako avtorice gledajo na resničnost, ki si jo delimo. NPC so najbolj transparenten del te logike, saj nam igralko-pomorfni obliki ponujajo najbližje podobo sebi, s čimer jim nenudoma pripišemo drugačne standarde. Neigralskih likov torej nikakor ne smemo odpisati, saj je njihova igra pogosto veliko kompleksnejša in pomembnejša, kot bi si lahko mislile.
crash inside it. I'll hold your hand, let me know. I wanna crash inside it. I wanna crash inside it. I wanna crash inside it. I'll hold your hand, let me know. And we can crash inside it.
Speaker is connected.
Drage poslušalke, pozdravljene nazaj v povratne zanke. Pravkar smo poslušale pesem Crash Inside It zasedbe Fallout. V drugem delu oddaje se bomo pomaknile naprej od neigralskih likov in nadaljevale s temo spletnega raziskovanja skozi pogovor z avtorice knjige Becoming the Product, the Critical Internet Researcher as a Virtual Intellectual, Morgan Bilwar. Tekom pisanja knjige je Bilwar opravila intervjuje s ključnimi akterkami spletnega raziskovanja ter analizirala njihove najpomembnejše institucije in platforme. Kakšno mesto zaseda spletno raziskovanje v primerjavi z ustaljenimi teoretičnimi praksami in zakaj je v nasprotju s klasičnimi akademskimi njena esejistična, hitra in izkustvena oblika bolj produktivna?
In Becoming the Product, I try to somehow demonstrate and argue for the fact that internet research is a branch of media theory and media studies that focuses on internet phenomena, how they are generated online, and the social debates they initiate. Because of its more recent and, let's say, fastly produced nature, it is inherently more experimental, but also because it takes interdisciplinary approaches that draw on design, rhetorics, sociology, and sometimes even philosophy. As I said, because of the rapidly produced and often neurotic nature of the internet and what is being produced on those platforms, and because also of the neurotic nature of digital cultures at large, the methods and outputs of internet research tend to be delivered more quickly than traditional academic timelines allow. You don't also have the same sort of review system. That said, this varies from project to project, and there's internet researchers that, you know, take whatever they're doing extremely, you know, seriously, quote unquote. I mean, I think everyone takes it seriously, but seriously in a way that they also try to apply academic rigor and reviewing systems to their research. In Becoming the Product, I argue that internet research and media studies have historically not been perceived as hegemonic disciplines in academia, unlike sociology, art history, or anthropology. And due to this lack of institutional or academic support or validity, as well as structures and recognition, key figures in the field of internet research have over time created their own platforms, methodologies, and agenda. And this is something that I propose and look into in Becoming the Product through the figure of Gerrit Loving and Joshua Citarella and their platform, the Institute of Network Culture and Do Not Research.
V svojem delu avtorica sledi tudi genealogiji koncepta virtualne intelektualke. Kaj točno pomeni ta izraz, kakšne konotacije prinaša in v čem se razlikuje od oznake spletna raziskovalka?
So the concept of the virtual intellectual was a term that was coined by Gerrit Loving long before social media even existed. And from what I understand from this conversation with Gerrit, it was for him at a time an intuition that the figure of the intellectual as we once knew it, so which was, you know, somewhat anonymous, hidden, or only accessible through academic or publishing affiliations would be transformed by the representational power enabled by internet platform. So when Gerrit Lovick talked about the term of the virtual intellectual, he didn't have per se in mind the internet researcher. That being said, I want to say that I believe that most internet researchers are in some ways virtual intellectual. However, not every virtual intellectual is an internet researcher. I emphasize this because the notion of the virtual intellectual can be applied to far more disciplines than internet theory or media studies alone. For example, you can have virtual intellectual and post on YouTube video essays or produce podcasts about philosophy, mathematics, politics, and more often embody the tendencies of a virtual intellectual. But of course, that doesn't make you an internet researcher. So to finally answer your question, I would say that being a virtual intellectual is more about one strategy of online presence than it is about a specific topic of inquiry or a discipline.
Bilwar se osredotoči predvsem na dve najpomembnejši osebnosti internetnega raziskovanja in pomembni instituciji, ki sta ju ustvarili. Pomen dela Gerrita Lovnika in njegove institucije Institute for Network Cultures je izreden. Njegovo delo pa je močno preoblikovalo današnje področje internetne teorije. Inštitut vseeno zauzema svojevrsten položaj, saj deluje v okviru Amsterdamske univerze unikatnega oblikovanja. Kako bo delovanje institucije spremenila selitev iz para akademske pozicije v nevladno organizacijo?
Yes, so the INC, which is the Institute for Network Culture, is well known for producing experimental and critical work on digital culture and technological developments in ways that institutions like mostly academia would not fully support. And so through his institute, Gerrit Lovick enabled young researchers to pursue their own fascinations and even came up with, you know, experimental methodologies. And although most of those people in this community, which I'm part of, even though they mostly come from an academic background, they approach their topic in general with more playfulness and experimental methods. And this is something that the Institute of Network Culture really values and display. I think that Gerrit, through his work, became a figure of empowerment for many of the people who are now considered internet researchers because of the platforms and the kind of articles and productions he facilitated. That said, there are also many other ways to conduct internet research, and other theorists like Richard Rogert, for example, have developed different tools for studying the internet and digital cultures from a more quantitative perspective and perhaps less speculative. Nevertheless, Gerrit Lovick, as well as Joshua Citarella, have been really like revolutionary and very inspirational forces because they offer a platform like Institute of Network Culture and Do Not Research to the voices of young people who, outside the traditional academic framework, wanted to publish arguments, ideas, and analyses and make them visible. So now that the INC is gonna close soon and Gerrit Lovick is going to retire, it's gonna be an interesting moment to see what can, you know, become or grow out of this online community. I think it would be wrong to say that the fact that the Institute of Network Culture and its affiliation with, you know, a university wasn't helping, you know, in producing those texts and those productions. So I think that now this affiliation between the INC and the School of Applied Science in Amsterdam will not be made because, you know, the contract is over. It will be an interesting moment to see how, you know, self-organization and I would say determination plays a role in that. I think Gerrit, being someone who works a lot and he's really passionate about what he does, will give in the same energy. But it is just up to, you know, the future to see what can remain from the INC in the years coming. Yeah.
Druga oseba, na katero se osredotoči, je Joshua Citarella in njegova raziskovalna skupina Do Not Research. Njegova pot se močno razlikuje od Lovinkove, saj je prostovoljno zavrnil varnost in togost klasičnih akademskih struktur, da bi se posvetil svojim interesom s pomočjo množičnega financiranja. Katere danes ustaljene prakse je prva vzpostavila njegova iniciativa?
In the book Becoming the Product, I talk a little bit about Joshua Citarella as a sort of precursor for, let's say, viral internet research performativity. And I think Joshua Citarella was one of the first figure of, let's say, internet research to start streaming his classes, which he used to propose at the Rhode Island Design School, if I'm correct, on Twitch, and also to offer a syllabus for his students through Patreon. This sort of package seems common or even ordinary nowadays, but at the time when he initiated it, I think it was quite novel. I also remember being quite surprised and curious about it. 2019 it was. I interviewed Joshua for this book because he is in many ways a perfect representation to me of this idea of a virtual artist or virtual intellectual who also happens to be an internet researcher. And I think he's also an interesting character because he, you know, is now moving from the internet researcher to, I think, virtual intellectual, just by the political and conversational agenda he has with Doomscroll. So I think he's also just an interesting figure to see how he navigates the concept of the virtual intellectual and the internet researcher hands in hands. Yeah.
Tako Bilvarina knjiga kot raziskovalni projekt in podcast nosijo ime Becoming the Product oziroma Postajanje produkt. Avtorica ta postopek opredeli kot ključen element dela spletnih raziskovalk, saj so te akterke, ki jih hkrati konzumirajo in producirajo. Do platform so obenem kritične in se nanje zanašajo za svoje delo, ali pa teoretično obravnavajo nišne spletne skupnosti, v katerih sodelujejo tudi same. Kaj pomeni ta napetost?
So becoming the product is not only a conceptual or critical framework, it is also something I had to experience myself when I began sharing my interest and research online. So of course I'm far from being an influencer, but I suppose that anyone who wants to engage in conversation about their work, research or products must log in and adopt a certain level of logistical effort and performativity. And this is precisely what becoming the product is about. So it's not really an ironic or critical stance, you know, on like how we all are becoming some kind of like results from capitalism or neoliberalism. It is just a sort of a strategy, I argue. And on the positive side, it offers a sense of empowerment and freedom over one's critical voice, which is no longer restricted by institutional reviews or frameworks. On the other hand, within this context, the researcher becomes, unfortunately, a product as well of platform logics and algorithmic tendencies, and can easily feel pressured by the downside of maintaining an online presence. So I would say that, you know, in a world where perhaps like academic funding and academic support or public funding would enable one to not feel obliged to, you know, perform to these sort of like roles and also deadlines, the, let's say, internet researcher when trying to become a virtual intellectual has very different rules of play.
V svojem delu avtorica analizira tudi figuri dekliških raziskovalk, in sicer na primeru Alex Kišo in Sophie Public, s katerimi smo se v povratnih zankah že srečale. Kakšna orodja in metode uporabljajo za ustvarjanje lastnega prostora na spletu in kako se to odraža v njihovem odnosu do gradiva, ki ga proučujejo?
Yeah, so in becoming the product, I looked into different kind of strategies that could somehow support one in their, let's say, visibility and in their attempt to perhaps try the costume of the virtual intellectual. In that process, I argue that the theory girl is a strategy employed by many internet researchers insofar as they use aesthetic devices to deliver the discourse. And when I say devices, I mean performativity, aesthetics, vitrines, etc. The name you mentioned, each have different approaches, but in my own practice and understanding, the strategy lies in using one's aesthetic presence or the aesthetics of the material itself, you know, either you present, you know, a meme or a book or a magazine, to hook the viewer or reader into engaging with the work, which often turns out to be far more critical and deconstructive than it initially appeared. So within this dynamic, the theory girl is both a weapon and a trap, and this is something that Alex Kišo argues for. She's a lure, an appeal, and a format, but she's also a kind of product. Ultimately, the theory girl simply plays by the rule of aesthetics and politics, fully aware that the two operate hand in hand. That being said, I want to say that the theory girl is just one of those strategies. I mean, there's many more, but I think what's interesting when we think about the theory girl being related to the concept of being a girl online is that this is a concept that goes beyond gender in a way that there's a sort of play of naivety and artificiality that is mostly just used as like marketing tool for hooking up viewers and listeners into staying in for the critical theory.
S tem zaključujemo današnje internetno raziskovanje in se poslavljamo od Morgan Bilwar. V današnji oddaji smo kot podlagi poslušali skladbi I Like You with Space Candy Galena Tiptona in Your Bluetooth Speaker avtorice Baby Ghost. Naslednja epizoda Povratnih zank bo zavzela poseben format, saj bo v oddaji predvajan audiovizualni esej performance naslovljen We Have Always Been Brain Rotted, ki ga pripravlja ekipa Axiome v sodelovanju s kolektivom The Void. Vlogo spletne raziskovalke sem prevzela Lea, dialoško drevesa MPC Tehnika pa sem raziskovala z Ninjo.